Ahmed's here. I'll go park his car since there's no law against drunk parking.
Thanks, Bubba J. Good job.
Whoa, is that a hybrid?
It's the Ahmedmobile, you idiot. Just be careful parking it or I kill you.
Didn't hurt.
And whatever you do, don't touch the red button.
Got it. Touch the red button.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage, Jeff Dunham!
Thank you. Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, it is absolutely great to be here in lovely Richmond, Virginia. And, you know, I've been doing the show all over the country, just having a blast here, there, and everywhere. The fans are great, but we've also been taking my show around the world. We've been doing shows in South Africa, Australia, 3 tours of Europe and the UK. Now they're talking about taking me to China. What? How am I gonna do my show in China? All I know is if I do my show in China, there's a big chunk of my act I'm gonna have to leave out. You'll recognize it when I do it here this evening. But it is interesting going to some of these foreign countries and doing press interviews because some of the reporters have done their homework and care, others just don't. For example, I was in London talking to a guy and he was like, all right, so ventriloquism, have you eliminated every other possibility of employment? And I have to go, no, this is what I've done my entire life. I've never wanted to do anything else. I started very young. I was 8 years old. I was in the 3rd grade, Christmas, 1970. Got my first dummy. There's mom and dad and me under the tree right there. You can see how proud my father is. But for years, I'd look at that picture and I'd think, why does he have that expression on his face? And then it finally hit me, duh, look where the dummy's hand is. So... yeah, that's creepy. So I started doing shows very early, all the way through elementary school, junior high school, college. And this is what I wanted to do. This was the future I saw. I saw it. There were a few people that didn't see it. For example, girlfriends. They'd realize I was sincere about wanting to talk to dummies the rest of my life, and they would dump me immediately. I couldn't see what they saw until a few months ago. I was sitting down with my 3 daughters, and we were looking at the yearbooks from my junior high and high school years. My daughters were horrified. Why? Let me explain. I started getting paid for doing my shows in the 7th grade. And I knew that if I was going to be a professional ventriloquist, I needed a professional photo. Now, my parents were supportive, but they weren't going to shell out the cash for that. So I thought, how am I going to get a professional picture of me and the dummy taken? And then it finally hit me. School picture day. I thought this was genius. All I had to do was show up at school with the dummy in the suitcase, stand in line. When it was my turn, I'd sit down, put the dummy on my knee, smile, click, professional photo. And that's what I did every year from the 7th grade through the 12th grade. The only trouble was they'd only take one photo, and that's what ended up in every yearbook. And that's why my daughters were horrified. It was boy, girl, girl, boy, boy with doll, girl. Don't believe me? There's 7th grade, right there. There it is. I'm the one on the right. Look at that. That is Justin Bieber hair. So, 9th grade came along, and I decided to do the same thing. This was the bicentennial year in our country, 1976. I was a patriotic lad, but I didn't want to dress like Uncle Sam. No, apparently, I wanted to dress like a 4th of July picnic table cover. You know, the funniest thing to me about that photo is the fact that I have braces. Why is that funny? Well, the rest of my life, I'm gonna be talking with my mouth shut, so what's the point? I know most of you are looking at these photos and thinking, this is the saddest human being we've ever met. Did he have any friends? Yes, I did. Here we are sitting in my bedroom one day. So now I had about 15 minutes in my show. I knew I wanted to add something else, some variety. I thought, music? Yes, something cool. Rock and roll guitar? No, something cooler. I'll play the trombone. I'm gonna let this photo soak in just for a minute. There is so much wrong here, ladies and gentlemen. Let's start with the least obvious, and that's my dummy up in the corner listening to we play the trombone. But now, let's talk about fashion, shall we? How did my mother even let me out of the house? This was an outfit I wore to school regularly. I don't know why I didn't get beat up on a regular basis. My parents were supportive, but every once in a while in a child's life, the parents must step in and say, enough is enough. Apparently, my parents did not do this, as is evidenced by this next photo. I don't remember how it happened. All I know is that we went to the professional portrait studio, and this was the family portrait that hung in our living room this big for years. My parents had family and friends over for parties a lot. And this was hanging right there in plain view, and no one ever said anything. They must have thought, well, the food's good. Let's go to the mentally ill people's house. Now, this next photo I found in a box just recently, you know, and some photos just go without explanation. I don't remember what this was. I don't remember what was going on. I don't know. I don't know. I'm standing in my parents' front yard. On the hood of this vehicle is the largest stuffed animal known to man. I don't know how it got it home. I don't know why it was there. I don't know what the hell it is. My dummy is dressed up like a bad Luke Skywalker knockoff. And I'm wearing a freaking Hawaiian shirt. It's like Tom Selleck jumped out of the closet and went, guess what?
My wife will never be a tutor. She does not have the patience for it. This would be a typical conversation between me and her. Baby, I don't understand how they got the answer to that math problem. She goes, well, how can I make it any easier? It's right there in front of you in black and white. And I go, I don't care if it's on pink paper with blue polka dots. I don't know how they got that answer. She goes, well, what do you want me to do? I go, tell me how they got the answer. She goes, well, then that'd be cheating and you haven't really learned anything because it's just me doing the math problem, isn't it? So how do we deal with this? I said, here's how we deal with it. You're fired. And then I got a real tutor and he got me through it. But here was my question. I was getting a Christian studies major. Why does a Christian studies major even need a math class? Right? All I need to know is there was 12 apostles, 10 commandments, he spent 3 days in a grave. Boom, aced it. And I did the whole thing online for two reasons. One, because I was still touring. But two, I didn't want the other kids to know how old I was. But I think I might have blown that when I would ask questions like, what's TikTok? To me, it's sound a clock makes. That's all I know. Well, so what would happen is the professor would email us a problem. We'd do the problem and then email it back to him. One night, I got this problem. He said, can you solve for X? And I wrote back, maybe. If you can solve for Y, as in why the hell do I need to know this mess? When I finally knew I was going to pass the class, I called the professor in his office. I said, I've been wanting to ask you something since I'd started this class. He said, what's that? I said, well, my time on this planet's up, and I go to meet St. Peter. I said, is he going to give me a math problem to do? He said, probably not. I said, so you're telling me then that this university has a stricter admissions policy than heaven does? He didn't find that too funny. But to show you what an idiot I am, while I was still enrolled in college, the college classes, one night Gail and I were lying in bed, and I rolled over to her, and I said, well, I guess you can tell your friends that you're sleeping with a college boy now. She goes, you know what? That's gross. And that right there, my friends, is the difference between men and women. Because there's a lot of reasons why at my age I would not sleep with a college girl. But I can tell you for a fact that gross ain't one of them. And the best thing about taking classes as an adult, if you fail a test, your thought is, hell, I got a job. Tell you what I should have done. Should have taken a class in cell phones and technology. God, I am so far behind the eight ball on this. I know now what my dad felt like when VCRs first came out. would your parents do that? Just stare at it like, what's that blinking red light? That's the time. You have to set the time. I don't get it. That's me now. I'm telling you all the time. Like a buddy of mine called me. I was in this football pool, and he was ahead of it. And he said, I'm going to Venmo you your money. I said, what? What the hell's Venmo? He goes, that's how I'm going to send you your money. I go, you might as well burn it, because I have no idea how to get it. So I don't understand this stuff. The only technology that I really like, and it's amazing to me, is Uber. It's insane. It's magical. I could be anywhere in the world. I can call my wife. 10 minutes later, a car picks me up and takes me to where I want to go, and the guy doesn't ask me for money. It's amazing. And now with these, oh, my God, here's the other one. This is the other one that drives me crazy. Acronyms are using now, nobody talks anymore. It's all in these, like I know what LOL and FYI is, but, like, other than that, I'm out. If you're under 50 years old and you're texting me, there's a real good chance I have no idea what you're talking about. I texted with my daughter for 3 years before I realized that IDK meant I don't know. I thought it was short for stupid. So I would text her and say, hey, miss you, when are you coming home? She'd be like, IDK. I'm like, well, stay home then. I don't care if you think I'm stupid. I don't give a damn. Yeah, I would say, we miss you, baby, when are you coming back? And she would type IDK, MU, and the number 2. And I'm like, I'd move. MU to me. And I go, yeah, what the hell is she saying? She's saying, I don't know, but I miss you too. And that was so sweet. And I wish I'd have known that before I wrote her out of the will.
I am a recovering alcoholic, 34 years sober. Thank you. There were a lot of one-night stands back in the day. Here's how it would go. I would get drunk, meet a woman, go back to my place, have sex, call myself a cab, leave. Remember, it was my place. I was a quiet drunk. Some people would say passed out. The haters. One night, I got drunk and passed out in a neighbor's front yard. When I came to, I was part of a yard sale. I was a blackout drunk. Now I have senior moments. I can't catch a break. I spent most of my life asking questions to total strangers. Questions like, you tell me, you're the cop. The great love of my life I met in a bar. We met when I fell off my bar stool. She was already on the floor. One night that lady asked me to spank her. I asked her why. She said, I'm into discipline. So instead of spanking her, I made her go stand in the corner. Who's your grandpa? That was a difficult relationship. She had multiple personalities, and I'm bad with names. Like any drunk, I thought I could manage my drinking. I remember after one particularly rough weekend, on Monday, I decided I would only drink after dark. Tuesday, I bought curtains. In college, I wrote a paper entitled The History of Public Intoxication in the United States of America from Colonial Times to Early This Morning. I flunked out of college twice. First time because I was a drunk. Second time I was sober, but the shit was hard. I had a favorite drinking game. My favorite drinking game was called Leave Me the Fuck Alone. Rules were real simple. All you needed was a pack of Marlboro Reds and a Jack Daniels on the rocks. Actually, that's all I needed. All you needed was to leave me the fuck alone.
It's nice to see people actually laughing now. It's a hard time in this country. People are always saying, like, why do you think comics are having such a hard time? And it really, you want to know why I think we are? Too many generations are alive at the same time. That's why. I'm not supposed to have to entertain all of you. Right? I'm supposed to pick a demographic and stay in my lane. But you guys want to come. There's so many. You got the greatest generations alive, baby boomer generations alive, Gen X, that's me, Gen Y, millennial, zennial. Get the hell out of here. It's ridiculous. I'm not supposed to go do a show and you show up with your kids. Look around. Some of you are here with your children. I don't even know my mother's first name. It's not fair. And listen, my sweet young millennials, I know you're a little sensitive, and I don't want to pick on you. I'm not picking on you. You have something that our generation will never have again. Hope. They told you you could be anything you wanted. That was completely different than our house. My brother told my father, I want to be an astronaut. He goes, you're too friggin' stupid. That's not mean, that's career advice, okay? And now stupid is a bad word. That's what my son's 11, he came home and he said, Mommy, the teacher told me stupid is a bad word. I said, tell your teacher, Mommy's got to leave a lot of other words out. Stupid is staying in. Okay? Besides, I'd have nothing to call his father. That's my husband, I love him. You would love him too. I'll talk about him a little bit later. I married the hot kid from the slow class, all right? So, hey. I know who I am. I take care of me. I don't need him to do anything for me. Have sex with me and guard the perimeter. Know your role, all right? That's it. What do I need him for? Yeah, that's, you want to talk about equal opportunity, that's when we talk about it. Now, I love the young generations. You do your marches, you do everything. You know, you go, oh, women, we support women. Of course I support women. How do you think that all these new young comics got here? All these broads that you've seen march out on stage, okay? That's how they got here. Just because I don't know how to knit a vagina hat doesn't mean I wasn't supporting women. Okay? Some of you say you support women and you're lying. You're lying. And you go, how do you know? Tammy, I'll tell you how, because I'm not just a comic, I'm a behavioral scientist. I watch people and then I talk about them at night. You lie and pretend you're supporting women, and I know you're lying, because you'll take a little picture, even tonight, with your friends. Little selfies of yourselves, post it up on social media. And you only fix you. You leave your friend hanging. Oh my God, you look great. Did Shrek enjoy the comedy show? People can't handle it when you tell them the truth. I feel like Jack Nicholson half the time. You can't handle the truth. That's a problem. The problem nowadays is that life is tough. Stuff happens. My generation is getting old. I now go to the bathroom at the time I used to go out to nightclubs. Okay? I can't find the piece of paper I wrote all my passwords down. But I did write them in cursive, so there's that. There's that. Might want to be nice to an old person if you want to read the Declaration of Independence. Figure out what you're outraged about. You think I care? I know who I am. That's it. You have to know who you are. You understand? I know, because in my house, I grew up, I'm 100% Sicilian. They didn't let you pretend. Thank you, the four of you that I'm probably related to. And I love my people, but Italian people are the worst, because there's always one old Italian lady who is miserable. You could tell her, I solved cancer, I cured cancer. Meh. That was my grandma. My grandfather, now he was my best friend. The day before I got married, my grandfather showed up. I opened up the door, he goes, "Hey, Tam, today is the best day of your life." I said, "But Pop, I get married tomorrow." He goes, "I know, today is the best day." Listen, for me, it worked out. My cousin, not so much. She's living with me, right? Because her husband was taking pictures of his penis and sending them to random broads. Not random broads. I mean, they were specific. That'd be funny if he was just like airdropping them. See, there's a difference in generations. When I say airdrop the young people, you know exactly what I'm talking about. The old people are picturing 8x10 glossies of a penis with a little parachute tied on it. Being tossed out of a World War II bomber. Like sexual propaganda or something. That's everybody sexualized now. Don't worry about those penis pictures. I'm sure there's an Amish dude right now tracing it on a piece of parchment somewhere. He's got the candle behind him to get the proper glow. He's got his quill dipping it in the inkwell. Then he's got to roll it up like a scroll and trot it to his girl's house. He knocks on the door, "Hearest thou? Go with Rebecca." Rebecca unrolls it and she can't churn butter correctly for a week. Don't worry, they're not here and they're not going to be watching either. So get over it. Get over it. I'm tired. Just tired all the time. That's the one thing, the youth, you have energy to have sex and all your fun little things you do, like your threesomes, whatever. I'm not judging you. I'm just telling you, if there was another woman in bed with my husband and I'd be like, "You got this covered? Because I got stuff to do." All right? I'm busy. Make me a sandwich before you leave too, all right? Because I am not gluten-free. I don't know when all that stuff happened. Gluten, peanut allergies. And stop yourself. I know peanut allergies are real. I know it's a real thing. My brother had a peanut allergy in the 80s. Okay? Back in the 80s, you know what my parents did? Nothing. Not a damn thing. They're like, "You want that Snickers or not?" So what if you swell? You don't go to school till Monday. You think they would have spent $800 on an EpiPen when it only cost $400 to have a new baby at the hospital? Do the math. The old math, not this new stupid math that they try to tell you. I can't take it anymore. And I'm telling you, like, and sometimes I feel sorry for my husband because I'm always on edge. But the fact of the matter is, we don't argue over much anymore, okay? Want to know what we argue about? A lot of people have talked about this. We argue over the GPS. He will listen to that GPS as if it was Moses coming down off the mountain. If it said turn left into the ocean, he would turn left into the ocean. Hey, maybe it's a shortcut. We're submerged right now. He's like, you're just jealous. You're jealous that I listen to her. I am jealous. I'm jealous she's somewhere else and I'm in the fucking car with him. That's what I am jealous of. That's what I'm jealous of. I want that broad's life. I'll tell you, here's the other thing we argue about. He snores and he doesn't believe me. If somebody who shares a pillow with you tells you that you snore, believe them. Why would I make that up? Now it's a game. Now I gotta prove to him. Now I'm a documentarian. I gotta film him, right? Like I'm looking for a Yeti in the Andes. This is ridiculous. Why would I make that up? I'm in the business of words. I'd make up something way more fantastical. Be like, you know what you do while you sleep? It's the weirdest thing. You juggle. Yeah, I know. I know. I heard this noise. Boom, boom, boom. I opened my eyes. Pillows hitting the ceiling. In a rhythmic formation. It's ridiculous. Listen, I love him. I'm not going anywhere. And that fact was tested a couple years ago. He got sick. Really sick. He's okay now. But at the time when he got sick, we Googled it on WebMD and we thought for sure he was dying. Right? And he said to me, he goes, if something happens to me, I want you to know you can get married again. I was like, oh my. I didn't even want to get married this time. What are the odds I get knocked up at this age? So I said, what do you mean? Like, he's testing me. You realize that, right? When he tells me I can get married again. He's testing me to see if I'm loyal. Of course I'm loyal. I'm a 3 a.m. friend. I will show up at 3 o'clock in the morning with a shovel and bail money, no questions asked, okay? That's who I am. But he's testing, I get so mad he's testing me because what am I supposed to say to you can get married again? Huh? Oh, can I have Frank's number in case you're in a coma? So I gave him the answer that I knew he needed, all right? Because that's who I am. I love this man. This is the light of my life. I told him, I said, listen, no matter what happens to you, as long as I walk this earth, there will never be another man who gets to call me his wife. And you could tell he was relieved. I said, but I will bang a lot of people.